prison, served the time. Have you heard from him?
I've not.
So you might be wondering in. And Chuck, you're the first person up on the agenda.
Yes, coveted first spot. Thank you. No, just a couple of really quick things.
Wait a minute. Excuse me. I'm sorry.
Get your head out the door.
Yeah, give me a minute. We do have the approval of minutes from the May 5th meeting.
Fairly meaty minutes. Talk about technically.
My only comment is on page 3, I'm Steven, S-T-E-V-E-N, instead of Steph. Good for it.
Yeah, I like that.
I move we accept the minutes as corrected.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. Thank you for your attention. Chuck, now you're up.
Well, again, I just want to briefly, as far as our work, our enforcement work, we're on track on the grant. I think we talked about last time. Melissa will be on leave in the next 2 weeks. I was really hoping. Yeah, I was in the pool for June 3rd, so I don't think it's going to happen. So I'm out of the money. But and then we've hired a temp since then. He actually has an environmental engineering background, and his name is Kevin Merschel, M-E-R-C-E-L, Merschel. I'm still learning to say it. But he'll be filling in primarily complaints. If there are issues at facilities, be there to act on our behalf, collect information, et cetera. I'll have Kevin come to the next meeting of the SWAC so you can meet him. But so far, it's working out really well. And again, just a temp through the summer at this point. And other than that, I think at the next meeting, we'll be prepared to bring you the second quarter report on the grant, our grant work that is Melissa and Matt Kevin and his role are working on. And that's really it for now. I think, obviously, the transition issue that we'll talk about a little later, obviously. Yeah.
Thank you. Rich?
Hi, everybody. Just a quick update for the city of Vancouver. We've been running the yard debris program, so those are good through the end of June. Residents can take 2 loads of yard debris and up to 4 tires to the transfer station between April and the end of June. The other program that we're very active in now for the last few months, since about the 12th of March, has been our neighborhood cleanup program. So right now we're on track. We've got 75 events planned for the year so far. 25 of those have happened. 50 are still to come. Of the ones that have happened, 11 of those have been chipper days, and 14 have been cleanup days. Basically, neighborhoods can bring in bulky items, a fair number of recycled commodities, typically yard debris, wood, and scrap metal for recycling. And we've done the resource conservation challenge for the last couple years, and that's been pretty popular. So a neighborhood, if they do 3 different things to divert material, which could be yard debris or wood, scrap metal, maybe a reuse piece. We had some folks a couple weeks ago that did like bicycle recycling, so bring in the bikes and then they take them to a nonprofit afterwards. If they do 3 of those things, or they could also do a tree planting or a couple of have a recycling presentation at their neighborhood association meeting, then they get $100 for that. So that help goes to their kitty and can be used for their neighborhood picnic or so forth. So that's all in full gear, and it's still working pretty good. Question?
Thank you.
Yeah, good evening. Nothing to report. I was hoping to have an update on the incident CTR, but that hasn't come through yet. If it does, prior to the closing of the meeting, let everybody know at the end. I haven't heard anything.
I'd like to thank you and the company for the cleanup after the parade.
Oh, yes.
And that really came off good. Our illustrious representative there looked good. It was convertible. And the parade went on for 2 hours. And I also noted that Waste Connections was a big shot with the Memorial Day observance down there at the bandstand, too. So kudos to the company.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, we've been a long-time sponsor of that.
And I've got a note here from Josie Wright, your Bagzilla.
Oh, yeah.
The gal that does that. She must be something else.
Yeah. Yep.
Tell her hi.
I will. Thank you.
Okay, I've got a few updates, and as always, I appreciate everyone taking their time out of their busy schedules to come here. Appreciate your volunteerism and expertise. We will talk about the transition, which is the big piece, and Roxanne Wolf has joined us, and she will speak some to that, and certainly have opportunity for questions around that. We have had a busy past 3 weeks as a result of that, so lots going on in our world. But we are still very busy, and I will pass around a few things. We've got some workshops coming up here in June with our Master Composter program, so you can either take a look at that, pass it around, put them back into circulation. We also have launched a updated website, greenneighbors.org, and I did not bring our tags, but Kim has been working with our cart tagging efforts, and we'll be visiting 15,000. Has anyone had a tag on their blue cart yet?
23,000.
23,000. And so hopefully we'll be inspecting those and getting good results back. And
a discipline tag?
It is an educational tag. The other piece is our award-winning Recycled Arts Festival is going to be happening here last weekend in June. We've got the banners hung up around town, so you can visibly see that. Again, Waste Connections is a great partner in that. We've been able to secure close to $30,000 in other business sponsorships. McCord Toyota is our presenting sponsor. The Bank, BioClean, a number of others. Here you can see on the bottom of this. But we are looking for volunteers, and we have an excellent intern, Eve Hamlin, who was pulled together on Volunteer Spot, a website where you can go and sign up for a number of shifts. If you want to spin the prize wheel, if you want to welcome folks, work in our booth, pick up litter, lots of great opportunities, and I encourage you to join us if you can. Or just stop by and shop and have fun, because it is a great one. How many folks have been out to the Recycled Arts Festival?
Tomorrow. Okay. Tomorrow is the first Friday walk that was mentioned in the paper, and that they're going to do first Friday walks, evidently, for a while. And the June 3rd one, they meet at the Public Service Center right here and wander around, and featuring a recycled metal artworks show as they walk around, evidently, tomorrow. So if they're interested in that, there's more recycling to go for. And the Wall Street Journal reports also that there's getting to be too many artists in the dub crowds trying to find all this stuff. And they're trying to sort it out. And they kind of have to dodge all your equipment as they go around. But evidently, this was a San Francisco article, I think. But anyway, they were doing great things with trash.
They do have a program in Metro, the resident artist. I think they come in on a weekend and they are allowed scavenging rights, and then they do art. So, trash to art. Other than that, things are going well. We wrapped up our last Recycle Day event. which was in East Vancouver, May 21st. I think we had 430 folks come through to that event.
It was like 620 or something.
Was it 600?
It might have been, yeah.
Wow,
600. It was busier.
So it goes to show, folks still want to get rid of that block foam and electronics and tires. So that need is out there, and we will have two more events coming in the fall as well. So lots more going on, but those are some highlights. If we have time, we can dive into some more.
Okay.
Yes, and on the operational side?
So it's the second week of the cart tagging, so we got two more weeks and a few days to go. Let me know if you get a tag. I'd be interested to see your response to it. And then the residue study that I mentioned last month, it got canceled for our first sort because the material was too wet. But we do have three coming up, the 17th, 18th, and 29th of June, are opportunities if you or someone you know would be interested in volunteering their time to look at this contaminated, what's ending up in our recycling as contamination. So that'd be like, usually for the weekends, it'll be like an 8 to 2, maybe sort of time frame. So 17th, 18th, and 29th of this month.
Okay.
And I didn't get any updates from Mike, so.
Yes, and it might be nice, so we'll have Roxanne come on up here. If we are putting the SWAC members on the spot, it might be great to go around just so she has a chance to hear your name and who you represent. I don't know if you want to do a favorite. Barry.
Something really embarrassing about yourself. That's what I'm hearing.
Actually, that is always nice. We wouldn't know that you might want to know. How about we try that?
Ty Stover, City Council, Vancouver City Council.
Awesome. Steve Willis, North Clark County. And when asked my favorite color, I usually say paisley.
Oh, excellent.
How about something we'd like to know?
Something you'd like to know?
Yeah.
What would you like to know?
Starting a compound,
aren't
you?
I moved up here for family, and they're a lot closer together now than they were before. I've worked for... One of the reasons I'm on this committee is I ran the City of San Jose Integrated Waste Management Program for about 4 years, and that taught me a lot. That's why I'm here.
I'm Don Ibbison. I'm chair of SWAC. My position is I represent the solid waste industry, and the reason for that is I've spent about the last 35 years selling equipment into the industry, so I've had a chance to watch the industry change, watch it grow, watch national companies come in, watch the development. In Clark County, I've been here since 90, so that's 26 years of solid waste experience here in Oakland.
I'm Alan Jeska, and I'm his right-hand assistant chair. I'm a retired Vancouver teacher and a retired military officer. I'm also on the green team as a volunteer at Legacy Hospital, and enjoy my serving as a volunteer in several vistas here.
If I could add too on the board.
Yes, the board of Legacy Hospital. Mm-hmm.
Missing a wine fete.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
The annual. I told him, only order half as much wine.
Hi. I'm Steven Schreig. I'm a Southwest Clark County rep. I'm a retired chemical and environmental engineer.
Hi, I'm Simone Auger. I'm a lighting specialist in the Energy Trust Commercial Lighting Program. And I represent small towns and cities. And one thing about me that some people don't know is I sing in the Portland Interfaith Gospel Choir.
Oh, good.
It's another volunteer position.
Great. We'll start off with my country chisels.
That's good.
I don't know that one.
Brandon Vick, I'm here representing Clark County Business. Our family does landscape construction. Also spent half the year in Olympia as state rep. And because of that, everything about me is on the internet. So you're good to go. Good.
My name is Rep Wilson. Been in Clark County for 30 years now, but I work in downtown Portland. I'm a principal with an engineering firm that specializes in sustainable design for buildings. And recently, well, I guess it's my second time around, but I wanted to get involved in the community over here, so joined up with SWAC. And it's been great. I represent Southeast Clark County.
Nice to meet you.
You too.
I'm Allie Coker. I represent the county at large. I'm a teacher in Kansas School District, and I represent, I don't know, just trying to get kids involved in their communities and giving back. And I don't know anything that you'd want to know.
We
just came on Washington Grade School.
Oh, wonderful.
Thank you.
Did you want to go over here? Or
Rich McKay, with City of Vancouver. I'm the Environmental Resources Manager. Been there about 18 years and had a career as an environmental consulting prior to that.
We're back there all
the
time.
I
guess the
garbage. I work for Waste Connections. They bought us out in 1999. I've been in this industry since 1992.
Well, very nice to meet you all. I know the rest of the folks here, so I have the great pleasure of working with them. My name is Roxanne Wolf, and I'm with Clark County Public Health, and I'm the operations officer there. And the reason I'm here tonight is to talk with you about probably something that you guys have probably not heard of, right? The latest changes at the campus. So I don't have anything prepared. Really, what I'm here for is just to tell you where we are in the transition, tell you a little bit more about that and about where we're going with that. And then also have, if you have any questions, certainly if I can answer them, great. If not, I could certainly get back to you with some answers. We're kind of right in the middle of the planning process right now, but as you probably all have heard, there was a reorganization in the county, and the Solid Waste and Environmental Outreach team is coming over now to Public Health, and we're very excited to have them. I mean, number one, the staff there is just outstanding. So we are thrilled to have them and thrilled to be able to have an opportunity to work with them. There are definitely some things that work very, very well together. So the work that Public Health does fits very well with the work that the Solid Waste and Environmental Outreach team does. And I think that we'll definitely, certainly, the work that Melissa does with a lot of her outreach and education as well, inspections, that sort of thing. But we definitely have, a lot to learn about the work that the team is doing. And also, as far as incorporating them into Public Health, we're on a timeline. Right now, the official transition date is July 1, but that doesn't mean that they're going to be physically transitioning over for a while. We are going to physically transition the team over to the public health facility, which is on Fourth Plank. So they'll be moving from the PSC next door over in that general direction. But it's going to be a while. I mean, the transition is July 1, but we don't expect them to move for quite some time. And it's going to take a while to do this transition. We want to make sure that it's a smooth transition, that we understand, what is working well, where potentially some gaps are that we could help out with, and that sort of thing. The team has been fantastic so far about giving us a real education about the nuances of the work that they do. And like I said, we're really excited to be able to work together. And we're looking forward to the future. I think it's going to be beneficial for all of us. So that's really it. I don't really have much of an update other than we're right in the middle of trying to figure it all out right now. And I didn't know if there were any specific questions from you all, or if there were any worries or concerns or anything that any of you have that you would need to be aware of and try to address.
Do you have enough elbow room over there for everybody?
We got this giant shoehorn.
Yeah. Because when I was over there before, it looked like you guys were pretty well expanded through the area, and I thought, where are you going to put these guys?
Exactly. Yeah. We're definitely working on space, and there is some space availability, so we're certainly looking at that right now. And really, what we want to do is we want to make sure that the teams are all co-located, so we're not going to spread everybody out. So we definitely want the teams to be close together. So those that are working together have the ability to stay close. So when we talk about moving people in, we're not just going to move this team in and put them wherever. We're having a whole scale move of our entire staff around. So we're looking at our current footprint and seeing what we can do with that. And there's going to be some build outs, and there's going to be a lot of stuff going on. So it's going to take a while, and that's why we don't anticipate that moving in for a while. But yeah, there is definitely some challenges with that. So.
With this transition, what do you see as the opportunities and the challenges?
So, I do think, we're really learning right now, so I'm certainly not going to be able to address all of what the potential opportunities are out there, and also the potential gaps. We're really learning that right now. I think one of the biggest opportunities is looking at combining efforts for the work that we do. We do, public health does a lot of outreach. We are in the community, we're embedded in the community, and we have a lot of work going on in the community. And a lot of work that we're doing now does overlap and does coincide very nicely with the work that the SWIG team. So we're really thinking that that's going to be a great opportunity to really not necessarily expand the services, but certainly be more efficient at how we deliver those services and that sort of thing. So we see that as a great opportunity. Staff is bringing an incredible amount of experience and knowledge, which I think is going to be fantastic. And, we already have a significant amount of experience on our teams as well, so I think that's going to be great for the teams as a whole. Challenges we have certainly are space. Certainly we're looking at right now, how do we make this work so that there's not a huge disruption to any of the teams and any of the work that we're doing. So that's a big challenge. This is a busy time for everyone, and trying to plan this transition right now, a busy time for everyone, is challenging. So we're committed to, you said it I think today in our meeting, we want to do this right, not quickly. So even though the transition is happening, official transition is on July 1, it's going to take us probably a good year to really have things in order and really be able to identify what the additional opportunities and gaps are. So that didn't really answer your question very well, but I think ask me again in a month and I'll have a better answer for you.
We'll see
a little bit more, absolutely. Yes, sir.
What are the staffing levels? What were they? There were so many, and now all of a sudden, they're all over there.
Exactly.
So what is the differential?
So the staffing levels for the solid waste environmental outreach team is actually 14 positions. We do have a few vacancies on the team. And in environmental health right now, public health, we've got about 24, 26, right, Chuck, something like that. So when we it's going to be about 40. We're thinking about 40 to 50 in the environmental health team. Eventually, we're not sure what we're going to call it yet, so it'll probably be a new title of our department. Maybe not. I don't know yet. So, a total of about 40 between 40 and 50 staff is what we expect.
When you're at the department?
Right now, yes. Yeah, and there may be some changes of that too. Certainly we're looking at our leadership team. Currently, my role is I'm over environmental health, but that may change going forward too. So we're looking at that structure as well.
You're still able to do your recruiting and hiring for those two positions?
So, you want me to answer that?
Yeah.
Yeah, so right now, we have the two positions. The two tech positions are actually on hold, but not hold for a long period of time. We really want to get a handle on what everyone is doing and what the needs for the department are, and really how to define those roles so they make the best sense. So we're in the process of doing that, and the expectation is that we're going to move forward and continue to work on posting those positions or filling those positions. the work of the tech positions specifically is something that we want to really understand. What are the techs doing now, and what are the specialists doing now? We really want to get a handle on that as we move forward, so we make sure that when we do recruit and post into those positions, that we get the right fit.
I noted that one of them was the one that deals with the schools.
Yep.
Now, of course, the schools are going to be closed for the 3 months, so the person who comes in should be school-oriented and exactly. Probably be there when the school starts.
Exactly. Yep. Yes, absolutely.
Do you have any questions of us?
Well, we also have a public health advisory council, and I wanted to say how important these are, these councils are. And I don't really have any questions, but I just wanted to express appreciation for your volunteering for this, because I know it takes time out of your day. You could be drinking wine when you're not. So I, you know, the volunteers that we have for our advisory councils are really important. So I just wanted to thank you for your time to do this. And I don't have any specific questions. I think as time goes on, I'll probably go as well. But I appreciate you giving me an invitation to be here and we can talk about what's happening.
You're welcome to come back at any time.
Absolutely. Thank you. Okay. Very good. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Well, I was going to, I'll come up for a second, but I just want to let you know I haven't spent a lot of time following up on all the questions. I just haven't had time to staff working on all the questions, all the good questions that came. Again, I think I'll just say as far as the Circle C out, you know, the timeline, we're still committed to being able to give them the criteria and move forward with it in the, by the fall. So where we finally land on the criteria itself and the actions we'll take, we want to. I think we still stick to that timeline. So really, if they have to do some work at the site or put in some equipment for sampling things like that, they can do that before the winter comes, because that'll be the most important time. I think, first, getting started on measurements and sampling and things like that. But I've got the list of questions, obviously, that are here. And so what I've promised to do is to get the team to address all these questions and get some of the information you're seeking by the middle of this month. I'd love to think right now I don't have any specific. We haven't got that in the room yet. We're going to do soon via email. That's really sorry. I don't have more for you. That's okay. Alan will get to his wine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sooner. Maybe he'll still.
Say, don't be sorry.
We had our meeting here with our Regional Solid Waste Steering Committee. We actually had the Public Health Director, Alan Melnick. Dr. Alan Melnick was there. Roxanne was there. Chuck, Melissa. So we had a pretty good public health transition meeting with our Regional Solid Waste Steering Committee. And again, these are the Public Works Directors from the cities. And the intent, and I know there's some overlap here between the SWAC responsibilities, roles, and authorities, and then our Regional Solid Waste Steering Committee. We have interlocal agreements. Rich was there as well, Kim. And the interlocal agreements are to flow this garbage and recyclables through our regional system. And as part of that, and as party to generating, I believe it's about 40%. Is that about right? The cities are generating about 40% of our waste through our system. So they have ownership in how that regional system operates. And so this steering committee is getting together twice a year, really around more capital, construction needs, budgeting, and some policy. So I just wanted to give you an overview of what was presented to this group, and I think it would be of interest to this group, and then we can...
Did they volunteer a transfer station for you?
We did not. So again, we are directed by some laws here, RCW 795. Maybe we get Brandon some of can give us the overview. RCW, that 795 is the one that tells us that we need to do the recycling. So that's the big one that really directs a lot of what we do. It also ties into our grant funds that come from the state, because that's how we get funding to help do that. RCW 3658, that gives us some nuances and some authority. If we want to form a disposal district, we can do that. We can also put a tax on garbage, so there's some funding revenue pieces that we have available there. RCW 8177, that's the Washington Utilities Transportation Commission, so that's really about hauling. And in the state, most of the garbage and recycling is done through the UTC hauler, which is a G certificate, and Waste Connections is ours here in Clark County. For garbage, cities can contract, and here Vancouver contracts, and Canvas, Washougal, and Ridgefield. They also allow counties to contract for the collection of recycling. And we are the only county of the 39 in the state that does that. So Mike Davis manages those contracts for our recycling, our yard debris, collection of the apartments. So that's allowed through that law.
I missed something. Why are we the only one that contracts for
everyone else uses the state regulated system, and then the state, through the Utilities Transportation Commissions, will set the rates, set the standards, and they're required to offer those haulers are required to offer those services. But by contracting, we can ask for things that we want. So we have recycling educators that Waste Connections provides to us through these contracts. We also get, for every customer, we get 25 cents per month, and it comes back to the Clark program. So by contracting, we get benefits.
Gotcha.
And then electro landfill, which we'll talk about quickly. And I won't belabor this too much because there's a lot of detail in here. So... Mike had a lot of information in these slides. I did my best to cut them down, and I will continue to pare it down. But the county is the planning authority for our solid waste system. We do that through our solid waste management plan, which you're all intimately aware of. Cities can go down that path, but they would need to have their own plan. And currently, we're working in partnership with Vancouver. And we've got 300,000 tons going through our system every year. Who knows where our garbage ends up? Anyone?
Is that a question?
Yeah. It's a trick question. It ends up at Findlay Buttes and Boardman, and then the garbage from our Washougal transfer station is top-loaded in the trucks, and that's taken to Wasco County, over by the Dalles. Currently, we have contracts for the collection, transfer, and disposal through 2021, and then we can exercise to buy those out, and that would automatically extend it through the end of 2026. So these are some discussions that the Regional Steering Committee certainly is going to need to be addressing, as well as SWAC. And 2021 is not too far out. So this this again talks about contracts and some of the detail. And then Lechner Landfill, this has been a big one we've been talking about. This has come up in some of the discussions. Right now, public health is very involved in the enforcement, regulatory side of that piece. They're a party. It's an advisory party to that. And then the county has been managing it. It's a public works asset. And so, again, in our transition, some of the ownership will retain public works. We have 135 acres. 42 are developable. The 34 acres of light industrial, what we've been talking about over the past couple months, the county's going to be involved in selling that. That money stays in the landfill funds and can be used to possibly bury our methane gas lines, to do more redevelopment if we're going to make it into a park. There's also 8 acres of residential, and it's all established in the Lechner Landfill Financial Assurance Reserve Fund, which is FARF. And then there's a Lechner Landfill Oversight Committee, and so we'll be working out the nuance currently. That's been the Environmental Services Director, plus the City of Vancouver Public Works Director, and so we'll figure out if that's going to be Public Works, Public Health. So those are, again, some pieces that link back to our transition. You see, I got rid of the whole slide there. So in our environmental outreach programs, these are some of the laws that require the work that we do. Clearly, there's the Washington State 7095, and that's the big one. And then because we send our waste over to Oregon, they have requirements because they want to reduce waste. They don't want us to just send excessive quantities. So they want us to recycle. And we also have requirements through our grants. And these are a lot of the programs that you know about. Recycling Done Right, which is our clean cart. Master Composters, Recycled Arts Festival. Our outreach on hazardous waste. Recycling Day events. And lots more. Some of these things are going to be overview, but I think it's good just to get us back onto the same page. Right now, we have traffic issues at our central transfer station. And we went out and got an appraisal. We're working through our private contractor, so there's no budgetary impact on our end. The initial appraisal, we were hoping to buy some of the frontage of the development that is right there to the north. We were hoping would be in the $80,000 to $100,000 range. It's possibly coming in three times as much. And that's because they know, I think, we need it. Supply and demand. So the way this would work is we would, through public health, through the Regional Steering Committee, through SWAC, we would need to make that recommendation to move forward, to authorize the contractor to buy that land, and then we would assess a fee in addition at the transfer station. So we could increase the tip fee, we could increase the transaction fee. Somehow we would need to pay that money back. So that is in process. Again, these will be coming back to you. It will begin with the Regional Steering Committee, then it will come to SWAC, then it will go up to the higher levels to authorize that. Tip fee adjustment would go to the Board of County Councilors, ultimately. And then phase two is we just have real traffic concerns once you enter into the transfer station. And our biggest issue is the cell fall. And so the commercial loads, they come through, they're pretty efficient, they get rid of their material, and they're on their way. The folks who are coming in with unruly trailers that are hard to back up. We've only have so many lanes. It's dark in there. And then you've got to unload all that stuff. So we get real backups and traffic out onto the street. It becomes a safety issue. So one of the ideas on the actual site itself would be, if you guys have toured that, would be to go in and put in that new drop-off center And of course, that's going to be land use development. We have neighbors that are looking straight down. Additional traffic that needs to exit the site somehow. So a long-term planning project, but something that can alleviate the growing pains that we have out there. And we are limited in our system. 300,000 tons is much more throughput than we were utilizing our transfer stations. And I know Washougal is already above capacity. It's a modular build-out, so we can expand that. But we are at this point with our growing population. I think we're the second fastest growing county in the state.
We were first, could you anywhere?
So that's maybe one of those awards you don't want to be number one in. So these are significant issues, and they take time. They possibly can go to litigation. So we will continually be updating you on how we go. We are far away from phase two. So at this point, we're just focused on getting that appraised amount. And then if we put in a new drop lane to alleviate the traffic, that's going to be probably $1 million. We've got to relocate all the utility lines and some of these things you possibly went over when you were meeting out there. And so that's a commitment that clearly has large impacts, and we're going to need to have that completely vetted and thought off. So here's our aerial photo of some traffic. And just click on this one. This shows that pit area. These are the houses that are looking straight down on it. This is a potential access out, but would clearly have ramifications. We're pretty hemmed in. It's a pretty tight space. And if we're planning 20, 30 years out, we're going to need to come up with some good ideas. Okay. So one thing that we're going to be really tracking are the actual transactions coming in, because this is an opportunity to try to reduce those. We've talked with Chuck and the Environmental Public Health Group about some changes to our Clark County Code. And so again, there's a good synergy opportunity here. Currently, you can bury garbage on site in our code. I don't think folks are hopefully doing that, but we certainly want to tighten that piece up. And if we're going to open up that code, we can look at other things like minimum garbage service levels, so that everyone in the unincorporated county would be required to have, say, 32-gallon garbage monthly. And those would hopefully reduce the trips coming in at some level. 178,000 garbage transactions in 2015. I don't know if you know some of the top peak days coming through CTR.
Yeah, absolutely. On CTR, it'd definitely be the weekend, Saturday and Sunday. And prior to the Great Recession, we were bumping up over 800 transactions a day. We're hitting those figures again now.
Yes.
On the weekends. And the second bullet point that talks about, you know, those transactions, that doesn't include on the weekends. We'll have 300 people come in and use our drop-off recycling building, as well as the moderate risk facilities as well.
And if anyone's been out, how many folks have been out to that central transfer station? Story, maybe you've taken loads. There's not much space to pull in. It's not easy to pull out. I think about 1,000 folks coming in there on a hot sunny day. The other piece too, from an economic standpoint, is self-haul, because they take a lot of time to process through, and they're only bringing in so much garbage that it's not a cost-effective use of the system. And so it's something we need to address. This talks about what the estimated cost was, you know, the $800,000, but it's going to be closer to a million, the $82,000, but probably closer to $300,000, so it just seems like we're going to be hitting some expensive costs here. And again, the intent would be to increase the tip fee, increase the transaction fee, somehow come up with a way to fund that. And this is all the design work and pre-planning that's going to need to happen. And some of these you've seen before. I'll quickly pull them up if it lets me.
I think he had to go out of slide view to open that the last time.
Let's try that. There we go. Again, not too great of a slide. Let's try the other one. That's even harder to see. So this is that road that you can remember seeing, and here's the turn lane that we're trying to bring folks in. It's a busy highway. It's kind of the same old story. Challenges.
Was there any discussion about if you increase the tip fee, you're going to have more garbage dumped all over the streets, roads, and back alleys?
Well, I think those are discussions that we'll need to have. There's the tip fee, and then there's the transaction fee. Currently, the transaction fee is $10 per load, and if you change that, you can change that just to central transportation, kind of your nickel at work type idea, and you could raise that to $15, $20. That would certainly make signing up. I know Waste Connections weekly garbage collection is about $15. So again, these will all be options that we will be looking at and bringing forward. What happened prior, and the reason that the whole deceleration, just so you know why we weren't proceeding with this at a faster clip, is Hurley has taken over that new development, again, just north of the transfer station. And prior to that, it had fallen into the hands through some of the bank issues to a bank that was non-responsive. So we wanted to buy that land. We wanted to go down this. We actually had it in our budget as a capital expense, but we were never able to get that right-of-way land. So we now have a willing seller. He feels, I think, that they've got some control over the pricing, but it's still... it's an opportunity for us that, as a group, we're going to need to decide if we want to move forward or not. What we heard from the Regional Solid Waste Steering Committee, which is important to relay back to you, is they want to move forward with this project. And the system will bear that cost, because the cost will be what it will be. And we have the appraiser. We've gone down that path. I don't know if you've been working on that piece at all for anything yet.
Not enough.
So really our next steps are going to be get that final pricing and then come up with our funding mechanism. If it's $300,000, we need to figure out how we can raise $300,000 through our system.
You might want to mention that WSDOT is going from all the way to Battleground. They're talking about putting barriers. And as development grows, that's happening.
Yes. And that's going to impact our cost for the project, because the stormwater on that highway has failed there. I don't know if anyone's driven by the Goodwill ever on a super rainy day, but it floods Highway 117. And so we actually end up picking up the cost, because we're doing frontage development out there. So there will be additional stormwater costs as well. Yes?
What's the process for developing the costs? Is there an RFP went out, or was there a
At this point, we've done went with a commercial appraisal, and then I believe we had a peer review appraisal done, or that's in the process. Okay. And just like you're buying a home, you get the set price that appraises out. And commercial land, again, is a hotter item these days as well.
There's no room for the county's tax rebate for, you know, like if you brought in a new company, you could allow it tax abeyance for a while. Is there any chance of doing anything like that with Hurley?
Probably not at this time. I think just getting him, he's at pre-app stage. He wants to get his development going. So, but a lot of pieces have to align. And I haven't been in on those discussions with the developer. So that's step one. I'm not sure, do we have time? Do we want to launch into the phase two? This is really further out, timeline-wise. But the biggest piece that's going to come back to this group is, if the Regional Steering Committee has recommended we move forward, is SWAC willing to move forward with the purchase and then construction of that deceleration lane to improve access into the central transfer station? I don't know if you recollect any other pieces of that discussion.
Pete, the only thing that came to mind to me that there was also some discussion that when you guys have done monitoring out there that you're getting a lot from Washougal, and that the transfer station out there was underutilized, and that maybe there was some way to abate the problems at CTR by some education or information to those folks that they have something closer that they're not using. So I thought that was brought up. I mean, that's not the big ticket on here, but that was another, I think there was some discussion of an outreach or a way to let people know that they have another transfer station available for them.
Yes, it's underutilized, but from a capacity standpoint,
right. It couldn't handle the same traffic.
Right? You would need to then make adjustments there as well. So, which is a good point, because that's additional capital improvements that will need to be paid back.
Well, you alluded that you could have different costs too. In other words, it could cost more to go to the central transfer station than one of the other two.
Yes.
If you save $5, you pay for the gas to get there.
And when we have run some of our Recycle Day events, we used to do it at the Washougal Public Works yard. We move that to the transfer station to let folks know that the hazardous waste opportunities were there. And a lot of folks were not bringing their garbage there. They were going to central. Because it's a little bit off the beaten path, and it's back in that port area.
Yeah, but I think if you use your fee, $15 or $20 at Central, and let people know that Washougal is there, West Van is there, help spread this tonnage out between the other two facilities, that could help with Central.
Central is the workhorse of the system. West Van has capacity, unless the baler goes down, which has been problematic. And then Washougal has capacity, but would need some upgrades, but they're more modular and was designed to make those improvements. So there's quite a bit. And then, of course, looking 5 years out, if the county and our regional partners and the councilors at the time, SWAC, if we want to be moving in the direction of executing our contract to take over ownership of the transfer stations, we're going to need this plan of what we're taking over and how they're going to function. You know, most likely we would do the metro model, which is we would lease those to a private company to operate. But we would have additional control and oversight of the facilities, because we would own them at that point. So, baby, I'm not sure how long you've been on SWAC.
Me?
Yeah.
Just a
12 years.
12 years. So if we're just talking 5 years to really start to make these decisions about the next 5 years, it happens soon.
And in between, we're going to have another rewrite of the solid waste plan.
Yeah, too. It's like a five-year plan.
And, you know, we're only 3 years away from that.
They're making those easier.
Well, they are.
They're trying to
save trees.
Yeah.
So are there other ways to make or to control the traffic? Like, there must be times when there aren't lines. And if you could, I mean, we're in the age of modern technology. And what if there was, like, I don't want to say appointment system, but you reserved a time to go through, and that's when you went through, and that would more evenly spread out the traffic to at least help. I know this is still needed, but
sure.
Just a way to help minimize.
That's what they do at the same site. Hmm? You made an appointment.
Yeah, you just reserve your time and try to make it as palatable with people as possible, because you don't want to be like in the gas crisis when we had, like, if your name started with or your, remember that, your license plate. But
if you had a, I don't know, an odd or an even number, but even if you charge more in peak hours.
Something, yeah, to help regulate.
Break, a break if they make an appointment.
Yeah, break if they make an appointment, or from 10 in the morning until noon, it's this price. Noon on, when everything starts getting congested. There's a lot of ways to fund stuff and control the traffic. Mm-hmm.
We will be building up some of those options, but getting this feedback is very helpful. If you look at the 178,000 transactions that came through Central, you know, if you had a $5 transaction fee, that would raise close to $1 million. I just did the math. And what is nice is we can try out some of these different. I know Stephen has had some suggestions too about, like, opening up our hazardous waste days. You know, we could try different, try congestion pricing, try just flat $5, try $10, and really track how, if there's impact, and try to get that messaging out. What is, I think, very helpful moving forward is once we get that fee established, then we start banking that money for phase two. And if phase two isn't going to go, then you sunset your fee.
So phase two is, but phase is a five-year or further out project.
And phase two could involve Wash. You know, we've been focused on CTR, but it could involve Washougal. It could also involve maintenance. As we get closer to that contract extension date, forming of a disposal district, and if we're going to manage the system, there might be additional needs there. So some things to think about, but our biggest concern is managing these 178,000 folks, and as Scott mentioned, on top of that, we've got all the recycling and hazardous waste customers as well, and it's a very small footprint, and I feel like I'm saying the same thing. Mm-hmm. So,
Pete, would it make sense when you come back with a recommendation regarding the property acquisition that a member of this committee come along so they can tell us what the backstory is, what the pros and the cons are, and be available for questions? Would that, or are you our main point of contact? This is the collection of public works directors, right?
The Regional Solid Waste Systems Steering Committee.
Yeah.
They have been meeting twice a year. Now we certainly can do.
But they're interested in making this property acquisition occur.
Yes.
And so, to have them come and tell us their story and advocate for us and as for their desire, it seems to me that would be a good thing.
And
if it's not appropriate, then it's not appropriate.
And are you asking that a representative of that steering committee?
Yeah.
That would probably be one of our staff.
Okay.
And one thing that we are working on, we just had, as you know, a lot going on, is we'll be preparing the minutes from that meeting that occurred and sending that out, of course.
I'm just trying to give them an opportunity to tell their story and us to ask questions and presumably support them in accomplishing what is a necessary infrastructure improvement.
And the process really was staff, Mike, presented this information, and then they gave it the green light.
Okay. I think once we saw it, yep. And I'm not making a recommendation, I think that the people that were out there and really saw it,
yep.
In real life, it was a whole lot easier to understand than when you were telling me at that cocktail party what you were trying to do. Once you're standing out there in the dirt and see it, it makes a whole lot more sense.
Yep. Yes.
You know, the whole project made a whole lot more sense.
Yes.
And I think those that were out there saw the logic to where you were going.
So this is a technical piece and won't involve SWAC at this level. Right now, the only funding mechanism we can do for capital improvements is a tip fee adjustment, and that is done by vote of the Board of County Councilors. Of course, you're the recommending body, so if we were to say we're going to increase the fees, we need to look at, and Mike has started this process, but we need to talk with RPA about opening up, amending the contract so we can also allow for that transaction fee component. So we could do either or a combination, but right now, because of the way the contract's written, it's just tip fee only. And I think the transaction fee, especially from what I'm hearing, makes sense because you can pinpoint just that one site and you're really getting to the root of the problem, which is what we want to be doing. So we need to get that going. We certainly can keep you apprised of that piece. And then your main role will be, of course, telling the counselors that you want to raise fees somehow. And so we will want to probably have a work session at some point.
Yeah. And we would look to you to bring back alternatives and recommendations.
Exactly.
You know, and what obviously, they've done the numerical analysis.
Exactly.
Behind it.
Exactly. And so maybe a good motion might be just to have that brought back to this committee,
yeah.
For further review,
yeah.
Discussion.
You've got the data.
Well, we are in the process of getting that data.
Yeah.
You know, we've got the hard numbers, but then we'll need to do some forecasting.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, I think we'll leave it at that. For now.
Is there anything from the audience? Okay, ordinance.
Made a recommendation last month when we agreed with the mission to protect groundwater in the regional soil source aquifer. And that had to do with Circle C landfill, but it also has to do with what the Indian tribe is doing, as far as I can see, if we're worried about the aquifer, of groundwater injection of all the 400 pounds we have today into the aquifer. It seems to me like this group has said that we want to try to help protect the groundwater. Is that something that can be brought up here? Because it's a big deal. And I know that the county councilors are involved in it. I know the city of Vancouver has discussed it. I know there's something, I'm still jet lagged. I've got there's a meeting coming up in June on that. I think I sent that to you, Brian. Is that toward the end of the month?
It's the end of the month.
They're going to talk about the design of the system and everything. And to me, when we have a sole source aquifer, it seems like we want to protect it, which is reasonable. We ought to put that on the forefront to let the county councilors know that we support protecting the aquifer.
Yeah, that'd be great. Chuck?
Yeah, I just want to I don't know, there's a Board of Health meeting, and it's where we were making a proposal to offer another alternative. I don't know if those are still online or not, but it was pretty contentious with the tribe there, their representatives. Anyway, I won't go too much into that, but you can watch it. But they were against that, the Board of Commissioners passing a motion. But and then they did invite, and Dr. Melnick and I went up on last week. They gave us, their parametrics person gave us a presentation on the system.
They include the presentation?
They gave Dr. Melnick and I the presentation. Mm-hmm. I think they're also planning, I can't confirm this at the moment, they are planning to give a similar presentation on the system, the wastewater treatment system. And
that's for the end of this month, yeah.
Okay, to the, well, there are some other meetings they're having up there, like more community-like meetings. I'm pretty sure they're planning to meet with the Board of Commissioners, either as the Board of Health or the Board of Commissioners, to give that same presentation. I don't know if that's a public meeting. I think it has to be a public meeting if it's the full council. But so I'll make, if you guys will make a note, we'll try to tie that down.
Could you email us?
Be there. I'm sorry?
There's going to be another meeting locally here. Could you email us when that is?
Yeah, so I'll try to follow that. But I know they, so the only thing, the other things I'll say is, you know, the system, and there are other systems like this in other parts of the state. I mean, the reality is it's
not on sole source aquifer.
Okay. I'll just talk to. I mean, it's a, and we've never seen the full design or reviewed it. We're not really, we don't have that kind of capacity to do this. But it's a pretty high tech system with membrane bioreactors and other treatment. Well, with the point we've always been making as the health department, which is in concurrence with, and you and I have talked about this, Stephen, is on our concerns about the aquifer and the monitoring. And so all I can say at this point is we're going to continue to press on that. And one of the conversation pieces that we brought up with the tribe when we were up there was, you know, can we come to some type of agreement where the county, if this, assuming it will move forward, that the system with the injection wells, that we at least have an agreement with the tribe to review the monitoring data and have some degree of input advisory capacity to make sure we know what's going in the groundwater and can have some input. But they are, you know, they are going to be a sovereign. They are a sovereign nation. We don't have any legal authority over them. Only EPA has the legal authority to oversee the operation.
But they have a wastewater treatment plant they can go to. So I'm just saying, is that something that this group, as we said here, we're worried about that. Is that something this group ought to take on to go to at least the councilors and say, we support.
I have an opinion.
Huh?
I have an opinion. I agree that protecting the aquifer is important, and I also am of the view that this issue is outside of the scope of our committee.
Mm-hmm. But we shouldn't have put them in notes.
Well,
that's my opinion.
We put in the notes related to a solid waste landfill.
And we also talked about what I'm talking about.
We talked about it, but I don't know we made a. I don't believe we took a motion on that issue. At least that's my recollection. I agree it's an important issue, but I don't think it's part of our charter.
What's the difference between a landfill and wastewater? Then? I mean, as far as
they are solid.
You know, but I guess what I would offer, Stephen, is I feel like we are, we are trying to stand up as the health department to offer alternatives that protect the aquifer, or alternatively, if it moves forward, forge an agreement with the tribe to have a role. What that is, I don't know exactly, so that we can at least, you know, know what's happening, have the data to help try to influence decisions if that needs to happen. I mean, but it is a very high, so I think if you want to stay in touch with me and our department, I think we feel like we are going to try to continue this dialogue and through the council, help them support forging that agreement with the tribe. So I think I think we're working on it and we're trying to stand up in that regard. So, I mean, if you have concerns, I think if you want to work with me or talk to me more or get updates, I'm more than happy to do that. I think the health department is trying to serve in any capacity.
This group should say to the council to keep working on something to try to protect our sole source aquifer. That's all I'm saying. We can't do anything other than support the council in trying to do their job.
Well, and may I offer too, so Dr. Melnick, the health officer, did make a recommendation that they actually tie into the sewer system. So it's outside the boundary and there's some issues with that. But he did make that recommendation. And so whatever you decide to do as a council or committee, you certainly can weigh in, whether you decide to do that as a group or you decide to do that individually, you can certainly weigh in with the council. That is on the table right now, and that is what these discussions are all about. We definitely want to make sure that monitoring, though, that's what we're primarily concerned with, is the monitoring. And, you know, we've seen the system, we've heard great things about the system. Technically speaking, the system is very, very good, but you're completely right, it's a single source aquifer, and so our primary responsibility is to do what we can to protect that. That's why the hooking up to the sewer is what we're recommending, is what Dr. Melnick is recommending as the health officer and the director of public health. So that's still on the table, and all I'm saying is that you are welcome to weigh in any way that you want as citizens of the county or as a group if you feel that that is within your charter and that's what you want to do. But it's in process right now, and certainly we'll keep you up to date about what those conversations are and how it's going. Okay.
One comment I'd make about monitoring is I try to think about what are the consequences if they exceed their whatever the specs are. And they'll either need to modify their system or turn it off. And I don't know whether you've got the teeth and the results of your monitoring to accomplish those things.
We don't have any monitoring.
Well, no.
The feds are going to monitor it.
Right.
Forget public health in Clark County.
Right.
The whole purpose is it's a sovereign nation. They're exempt from all of our rules.
Right. The EPA is up on
the phone. And this is my personal opinion. If some people got a little bit of light in their heads, they would hook it up to the sewer line that's there. And it would take care of all of this for everybody. But I'm not sure who's more pig-headed, mm-hmm. which side, and I'll let it go at that. Mm-hmm. That, to me, is a solution.
When was the first time Dr. Melnick made his position known?
That was very recently. We were just brought in.
It was not made before the county took the tribe to court and prevented the city of La Center and the tribe from hooking up.
And you're right.
So,
yeah, exactly.
You know, a little late to the table.
And we recognize that, and we weren't a party to the discussions up until recently when Dr. Melnick was asked to weigh in. But I totally hear what you're saying. And that's exactly right. And that's what they're, you know, and I understand. Certainly, I understand what the tribe is saying. I mean, they're like, well, make up your mind, you know. One thing, you say this thing, and now you're saying this, you know, make up your mind. I totally get that. But at the same time, we're hoping as the discussions continue that cooler heads will prevail and that we'll have an opportunity to dial down all the rhetoric and really have a good conversation.
Right.
And I think we're doing that.
Yeah, so. Focus on solutions.
Exactly.
But it's the same, the Board of Public Health is the same as
that's correct.
It is the county councilors.
Correct. Right.
That up until recently has been the stumbling block. As Ty said, it was all the lawsuits and everything else. Yeah. Perhaps with the election, that can get dialed back. But I think the point being made is we're concerned about it. If you're leachate and groundwater contamination from closed landfill, which I don't know what the gallons would be for that, but it's a whole lot less than 400,000 a day.
Right.
I don't know where we get a ruling to answer your question, if it's under our charter or not.
Yeah, I don't know either, because, I mean, all I'm saying is, you know, we talked last time, we wrote something down here that really said we agree with the mission to protect groundwater, regional sole source aquifer lies beneath the landfill, which is the landfill that we talked about, and we also talked about the tribal injection. But I mean, if we're going to protect the aquifer from leaching, I mean, you got a lot of stuff going into that aquifer if they inject their water in there. I mean, there's no question, especially the times that you hook into a center system, they just expanded it. And they can expand it again. I talked to the people there. It's a no-brainer if they could get together and just hook up the pipe. It's only a couple miles, I think. So
my suggestion is either there's a motion, is made on the floor and we act on that motion, or
well, I make a motion that we at least take something to the county councilors showing our support to protect our sole source aquifer, including the tribal wastewater injection system.
You want to bring that back to the next meeting? We'll put it on the agenda and vote on it?
Yeah.
If you give it to us ahead of time so we can take a look at it.
Where are they at the construction? I thought I got the idea they're already started this thing.
Yeah, the construction of the systems.
Yeah, I got the idea they were going to build that thing and then also hook up to the thing maybe as a backup.
They've never told me that.
They're not interested in hooking up to this there. Bring that back to the group. I have one announcement. I was going to do it via email, and haven't done it via email because I thought after 12 years, some of you have known that long. I'm retiring at the end of June, and I will be leaving the area in July. So my last meeting will be the July meeting. And at that time, we will need to elect a new chairperson. So I'd like you to think about that. And one thing that I've really thought about, and Chuck brought this up, and unfortunately I kind of shot at him. Historically, we're a changing group. And for a long time, we had members who've been on it 10, 12, 15 years. And when we started talking about Portside landfill down here, everybody was kind of looking around going, what's that? And that really bothered me, is losing the historical. Now, I've been involved in Clark County since 90 when I moved down here. So it's been easy for me to keep track of it. And one of the things that has happened since 1990 is Clark County has got the dubious distinction of being the only county in the state of Washington without the hauler sitting on SWAC as a voting member. And that goes back to a problem in the late 80s, early 90s, a political problem with Leitner's and landfill and the closure. And they were disinvited. Every county that Waste Connections operates in, they sit on SWAC as a voting member. I started down, I've got a directory in my computer, because I sell garbage trucks, and I start calling every county. Who's your rep on SWAC for the solid waste? And a couple counties didn't call me back, but everybody has got the hauler sitting at the table. I've worn that mantle because of what I do for a living. And I have asked Scott if he would be interested, and he's volunteered.
You're going to be here.
I really have a choice. I talked to his boss.
Scott's got his Facebook page says he's retired, by the way.
He is?
Yeah, well, he collects a good retirement. I'd like you to think about supporting me, supporting to the county councilors, welcoming Waste Connections back onto this committee. I think they need to be here.
I am going to write a letter to the counselors announcing my retirement, thanking them for the opportunity, and I thank Pete and the rest of the staff that's not here. But we need to correct what happened a long, long time ago. And I'm going to suggest that to the counselors. Ultimately, it's their decision. So I'll get within the next week or so. I'll get this out for everybody. Be out there for the counselors. And next month is it. And I thank you all for everything. That's all I got.
Where are you moving?
Arizona.
Should that be brought back as a motion? I mean, not your retirement.
Let me figure out how to do that. I want to thank the commissioners, counselors, and I want to make a suggestion at the same time. And let me get that. You'll see that. Everybody will see that in my resignation letter. Yeah, I would like to see it as a recommendation. I'd like to be able to footnote it. Of 39 counties, this is who sits where. And if you go to Eastern Washington, the Tories have everything northeast. The Dietrichs have everything southeast. City of Seattle has got four garbage haulers on there. King County's has four or five. So I'd like to see it come back as a motion from this group. And I'd like to be able to vote on it myself. I'll get that worked up and see what we can do.
So we're looking for a motion like next meeting then, after we see all this?
Yeah, I'd like to see it worked on. I'd like to see it discussed. I'd like to see the motion made so that once my retirement has been announced, you can get up there and get your application done. And then we can flow with this because it's been hard to find people to sit on SWACs. I mean, how long was Allie's position open? A couple months, 3 months? So we've got a historical person where I think we're all pretty comfortable with him. So, anyway, I'm going to shut up. Got any other business? Meeting's adjourned.
Yes.
If you can get to the City Hall by Monday, then I'm going to
talk to them. There's a second order in the article, so I saw where you went there. Sarah is on that Metro's emails. They sent them out monthly email on garbage, transportation, and everything. I gave it to Sarah. Pete, Sarah did a good job at that legacy thing. She came over and had a table.
Matt Kenny, you'll see me again. Oh, boy.
So where do you go?
Stereo propane tank?
Yeah.
Are you going to Coeur d'Alene?
Yes.
You going to be there?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
I got to go.
Well, we call.
You bet.
But we'll figure this out.
Over.
I just want to bring it up.
Right on. All right.
Yeah, I don't know if Alicia's along with me or not.
What happens with the
building? Yeah.
All right. See you out there.
Okay. Good to see you.
Well, you don't want to lose for this.
Arizona, huh?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
So you're taking on these
kids. I know, right?
I would like to see.